Central Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at the Fashion Furniture Studios, River Park. Of course, we're talking Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. They're really the greatest furniture store in the state of California. You haven't been in here, you're missing it. This is like Disneyland. It's the Pag Meter. Matty J. Matt, you're at the Cozias again. How do you like it?
Cozia, recliner, massage therapy chair. I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely...
We got to get Matt on there.
I'm probably not Start. On the right. Am I? Where am I?
I can hear you. We're going to have to figure out. Russ can't hear Matt. It's always good to have the co-host we can hear. But this is one of these shows, guys and gals. We're going to have, first of all, the Carruthers Blue Raiders state championship basketball team is heading in. So if you want to get some autographs, you want to talk to coach, the whole team's coming in. We're going to talk to them on their great journey ride to the state championship. This is one of these shows, Matt Johnson. I'm hoping you can hear me now.
I've got you now.
Okay. This is one of these shows. It's almost like, Alabama playing Clemson in the national championship. You're hoping it's going to be that great game. Well, this is one of these shows. It's going to be explosive, powerful. Now, if you're into vanilla, you want to talk about canaries and maybe your tree in your backyard, why it's not blooming, this is not for you. Nick and Matt, we're going to do some reporting, investigative reporting today. And this is why you and I are ahead of the game when it comes to stories. We do what we do.
Well, there is enough action out there in the world of sports journalism, sports media, and just a little bit of national media and attention through admission scandals to young athletes that are being recruited to play at different high schools. And, of course, there's always the occasional gaffe where a coach or an administrator says something that they have to try to retake, but it's too late. The cat's out of the bag. Freudian slip. Apparently, there are high schools in America that recruit talented athletes to play for their high schools. I think that's out.
That's out. It's been going on for a million years, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the big story, the varsity blues, you could say. The big story that came out, this hasn't even hit the surface yet. If people think this is the beginning of something that's been going around since Abe Lincoln was a tailback.
What are you referring to?
Let's start with the Hollywood stars paying their way to get their kids into school. It's been going on for a million years.
Yes.
So they're going to do something about it. And now it trickles down. We've been talking about the professional high schools with school and option. Well, we're finding out now some schools might be taking test form. Okay? Shocker.
Yes.
Are you shocked that anything's been going on right now?
None whatsoever. This has always taken place. This has been going on from the beginning of time. As long as you have a university that prides itself in running a fiscally sound, a good amount of income coming in to continue to build more buildings and make better research centers for science and to continue to bring in more students, money is attached to that. I'm absolutely 100% non-shocked of any of this. We've been talking about this on air since we began this show 10, 11, 12 years ago. These kinds of things happen. If you have deep, deep pockets, I'm assuming that a lot of people didn't understand what exactly goes on. But let me assure you, for the beginning of time, if you have the means in your pocketbook to bring to a university a deep, big check, you can do a lot of things with your prospective student that's trying to get into that college.
Well, what were you thinking, or what were your first thoughts when you found out that, you know, Lori Loughlin and,
yes,
you know, and the whole group, they're paying $500,000 to get their kids in the USC, thought, and you're a former Trojan.
Well, first, as always, that USC somehow always makes the headlines as the only one, but Stanford, Cal, Ivy Leaguers, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, ACC Conference, Duke, Wake Forest, They're all involved in the same deal. Once again, if you have money, lots of money, you can work and bribe your way into just about anything. This has always been going on. I always assume, by the way, that Lori Loughlin, the actress, William H. Macy, and his wife, I always felt like when I was at USC that that was normal. I'd be hanging out at a party on campus, and you'd be swapping stories with, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid, or there next to you would be Rob Lowe, who's attending the university. Or you happen to be at a party, and there's Jack Nicholson's daughter hanging out. You thought she kind of looked a little different, so you decided to, you know, ask her out. That was normal procedure. I never once ever thought that those type of celebrity or entertainment superstars actually got to college by just the traditional route that most of the students take an SAT, score a certain level, do right in class, have a lot of background as far as your extracurricular things you took part of in high school. I felt like, certainly Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone's children can get to any college they want. You just write a big fat check. I think the colleges welcome those types of entertainer children that come from big backgrounds, whether it's wealthy or just fame. That's what your student body wants to be part of, and that's what the university wants on their campus. I don't understand. Let me just stop for a minute and give you my initial thought. You mean to tell me that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has discovered this? Boy, things must be getting really quiet and slow at the FBI office, because if you're going for this type of low-hanging fruit, clearly, these are easy, easy finds for any investigative group to figure out. That people write big checks to get preferable test scores? What? This actually goes on? Welcome to the real world for those of you who've been living under a rock.
And make no mistake about it, we're not endorsing it. It's completely wrong. But it happens.
What do you mean it goes
on?
Wrong? I completely endorse it. How else are these universities paying for these beautiful buildings? Based on money.
Well, I could see the meetings,
money.
Matt. I could see.
If I'm a hedge fund manager and I've got an extra $500 million sitting in my pocket that I'd like to donate to a university, do you think Mr. Hedge Fund Manager doesn't get perks for that? Yes.
Well, the politicians have been doing this for a million years.
You think if you're middle class, middle America, you're the ones getting the shaft. There's two spectrums, the ultra-rich and the ultra-poor. Both sides of the coin get preferential treatment when it comes to education. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, I could just see the meeting. They got a meeting around, hey, Bill, Gary, how are we going to build this new locker room, get this new weight room facility? We're going to have no money coming in. Our sports department's struggling. What? Who's on the phone? Al? Al who? Al Pacino? What's he got? Bring Al in. He wants to give us $5 million for a weight room. And he wants a few favors?
Yeah.
You know that happens.
We have elitist students now that are suing? Well, I just lost an opportunity. I had to pay. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. Put the big boy pants on and stop your complaining. Okay? There are the haves. Maybe you haven't been keeping up with current events. There are haves and there's have-nots. And the haves will go find a way to get it done, and they write a big check. And we're shocked at this. Why don't we all just become socialists and just call it a day and just live life in a different way?
Okay, well, now that's the elite. That's the top part of the big money going in. Now you've got the small coaches who all of a sudden they're getting a phone call saying, hey, for another $100,000, can you get little Tiffany in here? And he's probably thinking to himself, you know, Nick Saban makes $10 million a year, and I'm making $128,000 a year. Yep. Yes, bring him in. Let's talk.
Sure.
You know that's going
because
on.
That's the only thing, as I was mentioning to my colleague, Mr. Gallegos, today. It's the only thing that I can't seem to get my handle on. I've got a complete understanding of how money, big money, finds ways onto campuses in ways that the normal person doesn't get to that same school. That's obvious. What I don't understand is I had no idea that soccer coaches and water polo coaches around America and lacrosse had that kind of weight that they can actually go to admissions, come up with some flim-flam story, and get some person in to campus. This is where I have a tendency to believe what happens to coaches like that. They get fired. But you know what? Someone's covering it up. If you're telling me that someone high above University A water polo or lacrosse coach isn't in with someone else to help him do this, guaranteed. The chancellors and the big presidents of these universities, they know what's going on. They just conveniently get rid of the person, and we move on and try to put this chapter behind us. Well, I think that we are missing the point in all this, Mr. Pagmeter. In the world of sports, can I just make this point clear? How in the world did Syracuse, North Carolina Tar Heels, the University of Oregon that was getting college-recruited football players by giving them preferential treatment on the SAT and the ACT, how did that story go, Bobby? Oh, wait, let me think. Oh, at North Carolina, Jordan Enterprises, money, Nike, Oregon, Oh, they made that go away, didn't they? Money.
Well,
money.
From Stan. Stan says the federal government uses our tax dollars for universities, and Matt, you're an idiot. So they're getting a little personal with you. But
yeah.
I think what he's trying to say, there's our teams in the house. Come on, relax. We got the state champion Carruthers. Blue Raiders are in the house. We're going to talk to them in the next segment or two. But, Matt, I think what Matt is saying, this has been going on for a million years. Don't be shocked.
No. I think let's go the other way. Stan's the idiot, the person who text messaged or emailed you. We're talking about a large portion of these places are private universities. Private universities. They have their own method to their madness, just as private high schools have their own methods. Okay, let's not misconstrue that Fresno State or San Diego State is in the same boat as Stanford and USC. They have a whole different set of admissions of how they like to get their students in. And, oh, by the way, they don't get their money from the state. And they don't get their money for building these mega, mega universities through federal money. It's a private institution.
You're saying is they have their own rules, and they can bring in whoever they want.
They have guidelines and rules that go completely different than the state universities and the universities.
So is high school, private schools have the same deal? They got their own rules?
Clearly they operate under their own set of rules to the curriculum, to what teachers are credentialed. They have a own set of their own rules. It's a private institution.
Okay, so instead of Fresno State, you're talking USC.
You didn't
private.
See. Look at the schools that they've given to you so far. Now, the UCLA is implicated in this, too, and they're clearly a high academic institution, and it's also a UC school, so they're under the guidelines of the state of California and, of course, federal government. But these private universities, Stanford, Yale's, USC's, they operate under their own deal. It's a totally separate set of issues.
And it's been going on for a million years, and I think that's the big...
We never thought that a million years that the kid that comes to college driving the new Ferrari... that maybe he got to this campus because of other reasons other than his academic merits or the pursuits that he had in the classroom? Let's be honest and real with it. Millions and millions of dollars based on the fact that when they graduate and they get that degree, it's not going to mean as much when I graduate from Stanford because apparently... someone had this perception that getting into Stanford is nothing more than writing a big check. So my degree is not going to be as powerful as it once was. That lawsuit's going to fall completely dead. But, yes, there's be lawsuits involved all over the place.
Interesting to see the coaches that are already being fired or being on administrative leave, what's going to happen to them because they're caught in the bribery. And you know, it trickles down. You see the street agents in high school trying to get these kids into college any way they can. Hey, what do I have to do? So it starts in the high school level. We see it in basketball. We see it in football. What's it going to take to get these kids in school? Who knows what those street agents are doing?
When a student high school athlete leaves, let's just use our place as an example, leaves the city of Fresno and heads off to a high school in, let's just say, Las Vegas, Nevada. And let's just assume for a minute that the actual income level of the family that packed up their belongings and brought their son or daughter to Las Vegas to go to high school, that they were absolutely completely wealthy enough to make that move when we know otherwise. Shouldn't we be talking about that? Shouldn't we be talking about the professionalization of high school athletics, and who pays the bills, who affords the families these opportunities to send their son or daughter hundreds or thousands of miles away from their home base to go attend high school? Come on. Of course there's money involved. Of course there are people that have to pay that tuition where they can't afford to pay that tuition.
Yeah, now we're hearing the arrest of the IMG Academy Director of College Entrance Exam. He's for taking tests for students. And shocker.
You have a marketing plan at IMG Academy, like a lot of these, as you call them, private professionals. And even, it goes further now. The Academy thing is off the charts. Where they have to justify in their marketing campaign, why would I want to leave the healthy confines of Chula Vista, California, and go to Sarasota, Florida, or wherever your campus is located? Well, because we're going to guarantee you admission into whatever Division I college program that offers the athletics that you want to get. We're going to guarantee you admission. Well, how do you do that? Well, we're also going to make sure your test scores match. Corruption, right there. IMG Academy. Shocker. We knew that was coming.
There's two words. Two words that mean everything in sports and life. And we're going to talk about those two when we come back. Also, joining us in a few minutes, the state champion Carruthers Blue Raiders basketball team's in the house. I want to hear a little, yeah! There, see? Now, if you want to come on down and get an autograph with them, this is the time. Carruthers is in the house, but there's two words, Matt, and we'll tell you what they are when we come back, what it all means. Don't go in and risk the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. This is your Rice Show for your Thursday. It's the Pag Meter, along with Matty J, Matt Johnson. And Matt, we're here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, across the street from River Park. If they don't have it,
you don't need it.
Yeah, they have it all.
Everything.
They got you. They'll design your room. They got the your financing all set up, and the salespeople here are wonderful. They'll have them at. They'll probably be invited to Thanksgiving dinner after you leave here.
Yeah, in the Rita Kleiner section, check out the big screen TV. The Players Championship is going on. Of course, our local Nick Watney, who was at 4-under, went into the water just as soon as I basically said that. So he's going to have to hang in there and see if he can't salvage bogey. But good start for Nick Watney, which we haven't talked about a lot lately, but he's another local legend.
Be nice to get healthy again for one solid year. He's been injured. But coming up in a few minutes, the state champion Carruthers Blue Raiders, they're in the house here at Fashion Furniture. Come on down and bring your photos. They might even sign autographs today if you want. I mean, they said, yeah, they would do it. But, Matt, there's two words.
Yes.
Also, before that, let's give a little Firehouse Subs a little love.
Absolutely. Firehouse Subs, obviously, raising money not just to put in their own pockets, but to give back to the community and to give back to first responders for all those wonderful things that all the first responders from police and fire and everyone else does to help save lives when they need certain equipment. The money is help coming from Firehouse Subs. Thank you, Firehouse Subs, for all that you do.
1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the Fighting Frogs and what Coach said about recruiting. We're going to find out what does that mean for the rest of the schools, and also why is it so hard for Clovis West football team to get a coach. We'll talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour. But there's two words that we all bring up that everyone wants, and it's life. But there's two words, Matt, and you pretty much know what they are: money and winning. And sometimes money and winning together, people do whatever they can do to get ahead.
That's correct.
I mean, is it ever going to end that way? Because if you win, the coach gets more money.
Yeah.
And everyone wins, and the school, and the whole nine yards. It is what it is, people.
I think from day one of our program, we've always tried to at least, you know, entertain, obviously, number one. I think that's part of the business of radio and what we do. We must be entertaining. We can't just be sterile and read from articles and just tell you what you already know. We have to take a position on something. And from day one, you took the position when it came down to, let's say, the NCAA, that is one of the most corrupt agencies or governing bodies in all of the world of sports. And why would that be the perception or possibly the reality? Money. Why is it that the smaller colleges somehow get left out of the big picture and the big dance, if you will, in the national scene? Because they don't bring in the type of revenue that these Power Five conferences do. So when you're talking about the potential correlation between money and winning, at the highest levels. Now, in NAIA, in Division II and III, football, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever the sport might be, it's not the same. But we are really focusing on, in the biggest picture, the highest life form of high school and the highest life form of college in the Division I level. Money and winning. If everyone knew off the top of their head how much money the University of Alabama generates through their football program, you'd begin to see the complete picture. And every single scandal, from recruiting to athletes in college losing eligibility to athletes leaving school early, it all centers around the aspect of money. And when you talk about winning, winning goes hand in hand with money. Why? What does the college basketball coach in Division I need? Players. How do they get those players? Money. How do they get the superstar athlete for one season to declare to their school? Money and winning. It goes hand in hand, and that's where the greed element takes over.
So, Matt, you've been coaching. You started at Edison back in the day. You've seen summer football, summer basketball. Is it out of control? Now you've got the 7-on-7, you've got AAU.
Yeah.
Is it out of control now? Is it just start from there?
Well, it depends on what your definition of the out of control. What does that mean? Absolutely, anytime, once again, you bring in a factor of winning. And by the way, winning is not just on the scoreboard winning. Winning is just winning in life. What's the common thread of winning? It encompasses a lot of things. But in the world of 7-on-7, in the world of club basketball, in the world of the softball, the touring, the club soccers, all that comes down to one thing. Giving your son or daughter, giving the student athlete the best opportunity to become a winner, whether that is winning in the classroom or winning on the field of play, and getting an opportunity to continue with the success in that sport. And I think that is where things have gotten out of control. And you brought it up, Ribbit Academy. We talk about a real hometown hero group, the Carruthers Blue Raider girls basketball team, coming home with a section championship, a state championship, and really making us all proud to be in the Valley. They did it the old-fashioned way that used to be done. A community comes together, a public school, and goes out and competes against like opponents and whittles out over 30 victories and does it in the perfect, perfect American pattern of greatness. Where other schools, like this Ribbit Academy, the boys team that won Division IV, admitted that they recruited worldwide, they brought in a group of talent from everywhere, and they won their championship. Carruthers did it, and at any given moment during that run for Carruthers for the championship, they could have run into one of those, as you call, private professional schools. To me, the public schools have to start getting together and start figuring out, do we ever want to schedule or play any of those schools ever again? They need to level the playing field.
So they came out with a tweet, and it wasn't an interview. When you tweet, you're pretty much, that's a serious stuff. I mean, tweet, if I ask Matt a question and you made me say the wrong thing, oh, I didn't mean to say that. You're tweeting, and you push that send button. But he came out, after winning the Division IV state title, Ribbit Academy, the Fighting Frogs, Coach Reggie Howard was asked, how you go from winning one game a year ago to a state championship? Well, he says, we were able to go out and recruit some kids from all over the country. We were able to change things quickly. Now, if the Fighting Frogs is on my schedule, I got to rethink it, because they're doing things that I know a lot of people recruit. I get all that, but it's always that hush hush. No, I mean, you're at the grocery store. Hey, we got a great kid. You have a great school. You might want to come over. Those probably happening. This guy admitted it. We're going around the country. We're trying to bring in the best players.
Yeah,
has that changed? And you just mentioned,
yeah.
Has that changed now when you go back to scheduling teams like that?
No, I think what's happening is, not just me, I'm talking about it. There is a coalition underway already of area coaches, area administrators, that are now going to say, you know what, we're not playing, you're off our schedule, period. We're not going to go out and compete, since obviously transformational coaching is not part of their business. It's all about winning. It's all about doing things in a way that gives them the best chance of winning. That's what Ribbit Academy did. That's what St. John Bosco did. They came out years ago. I mentioned to you that I'm watching the state football championships, and St. John Bosco was in the championship for like the first time ever. This was Josh Rosen, who's now the Arizona Cardinals quarterback, his senior year. And at halftime, they interviewed the head of the church. They interviewed the school, the principals, the directors of sport. And they all said within, like it was almost a canned response, we were tired of watching the modern days of the world continue to win championships. And we decided we were going to make a move to become a champion. So we put our heads together what it was going to take. What you see today on the football field was the culmination of all those decisions we made. What are they saying? They recruited. They brought in the top athletes, and they got themselves a championship. That's what is going on, and I'm saying it's time that great schools like Carruthers and other schools like them continue on their quest to play great basketball or football, whatever it might be. But let's not ask them to go toe-to-toe with these schools that are clearly, clearly bringing in talented athletes in a fashion that is not comparable to a local public school. Take them off the schedule, period.
I totally agree.
If you read further in the Ribbit Academy, that's exactly what the schools that competed against them started talking about during the year. You won one basketball game. The following year, you go all the way and you decimate everybody on your schedule to the state championship.
And I get a lot of emails. Pag meter, though. Schools, they all can do the same thing as public or private schools can. They can't because they have no boundaries.
Clearly not. If that was the case, then the powerhouse program of the state of California would not be the schools that are on the powerhouse level.
But there's a few. You got Folsom, Central.
Central High School, Folsom High School. Common thread of all those. Look at the roster, where their players, where they're made up from.
Yeah.
Those are not backyard from Carruthers, making up the Carruthers Blue Raiders. That is not a town team. That is a collection of kids from everywhere, from Dos Palos, from all the way down in the Bakersfield area, from areas all over Fresno, Clovis. It is. Of course public schools still do it. And they are in the position to do it. I'm just talking about from a smaller community-type based schools, is it fair for them to go play those types of schools?
Well, now that we've the Carruthers Blue Raiders think we're crazy, let's bring them back next. We're going to talk Carruthers basketball. We got the great bunch in the house. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. The state champs are coming up next on 940 ESPN.
Blue Raiders in the house. We'll be back on 940 ESPN.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are on the Rise Show. This is the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. Mac, and you're okay? Your phone's work?
Okay, Russ, you got me good.
We can't. No, we got nothing with Matt. We're having a little issues with the earphones, but we're going to find out. We got a whole bunch on the table. We're testing them out. But it's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone.
Yes, indeed.
There you go. I want to thank Fashion Furniture, the greatest partner we have, local, and it's time to get the house ready for spring.
Yes, it is, and they're always here to help accommodate, as you said, greatest sales force ever, financing here on site, everything you need, one-stop shop right here, Fashion Furniture.
Well, Matt, we got special guests in.
Yes, we do. We have a really, I don't want to go as far as storybook, but let's not kid ourselves. This story was developing through the middle of the year. You and I started talking about it. Nick, you followed Carruthers basketball for quite a while, and you started seeing that that's a special group. And before you know it, you blink, and now they're in the section championship. Next thing you know, they're on their way to state and all the way to Sacramento, and they finish the deal. Congratulations, Carruthers Blue Raiders, on outstanding win. Let's start with the athletic director. Introduce yourself.
My name is Tyson Lowry, the athletic director of Carruthers High School. Been in Carruthers since 2001 and been able to see a lot of great opportunities arise for the players and the community and the school from an athletic, academic, and obviously just a community standpoint.
Tyson's been my guy when we broadcasted two football games in Carruthers this year. He took care of us, got the table, the whole set. So I appreciate all your help from getting our team out there. But I've always been a Carruthers Blue Raiders fan and all the sports, and you guys are doing a great job the best way.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we've been putting a lot of investment into our teams, our coaches, our facilities and things over the last 5 years especially. And a lot of those investments have been paying off with very competitive sports teams, and the great success that our girls basketball team has had over the last 5 years, I think, is goes right along with those improvements.
From an athletic director's standpoint, and been doing it for several years, what is the Give us a little sense deep in the grit of when a season like this is going and coming to the end of this. How much does that, do you feel, the community, everyone gets behind, and more importantly for you, your workload, and how do you have to kind of adjust to really set up the success for the spectators, the fans, the everyone wants to go to the games? How much of a task is that?
It's a lot of work, but, you know, working at Carruthers High School, one of the things that comes through that is we have a great team that helps to make it happen. Our site principal, our superintendent, they're very in favor of making this a complete community and a complete school event. I think that that's been shown in our several appearances at Selland Arena with basically painting the place blue for the Valley Five, or Division Five Valley Championship
yep.
games. Traveling to Sacramento, we had 270 kids that got on buses at 5 o'clock in the morning to be up there to support the girls in their state championship run. And so, you know, not only was there that many kids there that the school provided everything, transportation, tickets, et cetera, to get them there, but we probably had another 500, 600 people just from Carruthers that came out to support the Lady Raiders in their quest.
And we're talking with Tyson, the AD at Carruthers, and of course before that you had to go almost to Canada, to Eureka, and that's not an easy little bus ride.
Yeah, no, the trip to Eureka, it was a fun trip. You know, we had an opportunity to, as a school, we decided when we won against Gridley in a great matchup on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening that we were going to send the girls up on Sunday because it was a day we couldn't practice. It'd be a perfect day for some travel. And then just give the girls and the team the best opportunity to be ready and prepared for the games that were going to be going on in the week. The game itself at St. Bernard's, I want to say thanks to the folks at Eureka High School for helping to give us the opportunity to get in there and practice and use their facilities for the 2 days. And then, you know, to the team and the community, we had probably 75, 80 people that drove up from Carruthers that afternoon just to come up and watch the game. And then a large majority of them actually turned around and drove back. So they came up literally just to see the girls get through the Northern Regional Championship game up there at St. Bernard's in Eureka.
Well, Tyson, keep up the great work. Fantastic. Let's bring up your coach now. There's the state championship coach, Anna Almeida. Welcome in.
I think it was Almeida.
Almeida. Okay. Sorry, I'll do it again.
First with you it was Alameda, and then it became Almeida.
Yeah.
And now, we're now there now. Let's get it right.
Let's start with the – I want to start with the school. So the send-off, not only the send-off to Sacramento, but during the game you had a whole gymnasium with the big-screen TV watching the game.
Yeah, I mean, just the support from the students at school, the admin that let us do that, and then all the community members who were cheering us on. And not even just that, on Facebook, people were following on Facebook and watching it on the news. I see people at the grocery store on Monday, and they're excited. They're like, we saw you on TV. They DVR'd it, stuff like that. So it was definitely not just the little bit we saw in Sacramento. It was definitely a community event.
Well, as the game, the championship state game came closer and closer, the emotions inside your body as a coach, everything's going crazy. And then all of a sudden, and the game starts. And at what point did you kind of think to yourself, be honest with the listeners, this is going really well? I mean, at what point did you like, you know, because I can only imagine the tension and the pressure and the stress. And then it starts, and the start you had going in, was that just way off the charts of what you thought might happen early?
I think the best part is for the first 4 minutes, I couldn't figure out where the scoreboard was.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I actually looked up, I was like, where can you guys find the score? And it was on the side of the wall because we've never played in something like that.
Yes, and they didn't afford you the it's not like an NBA where you get in there at 7 in the morning, let you shoot around for 4 hours and really get the lay. You were just in there, let's go.
Yeah, I was, like, trying to figure out where timeouts were up at and, you know, all those things. And the score was actually all the way on the, I think it was the north side of the arena on the wall. And I was like, oh, the score was, like, 30 to 11.
Coach from the Carruthers Blue Raiders, Coach Anna. So let's go back to Selland Arena because there was no smiling on the girls. It was businesslike. It was Kalinga. You got them up 21-0 before they even said, what are we doing here? You were businesslike, just like Sacramento, and I love that. I knew right from the get-go. You saw the Rams. They come out and they look like they're a deer in headlights. I said right then, it's over. You already won the game before the tip-off, so that was a great start.
And that's kind of how we try to prepare And it felt weird because after the game, you really, as a coach, I wanted to celebrate and feel the excitement, but we felt like we had practice the next day. So we're all in the back and we're talking. They're like, wait, we don't have practice tomorrow? Because that's kind of how we've ran our whole season, you know, just this is not the end, and then that just happened to be the end, and once it finally set in, it was complete excitement.
Now, background for you in your coaching career and playing career, and tell us a little bit about where you started, what your journey was like becoming the head coach at Carruthers.
In high school, I actually finished my last 2 years at Carruthers High School, and I played there. My college coach was Meredith Pulliam. She's an assistant at Close
yep.
West.
Yep.
And she sent me off to college to play for Brian Tesler. And
there you go.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I found my itch for coaching, and I learned a lot playing for him. And he let me in on, like, tips and cues, and I was able to have input and stuff like that and insight. And then I kind of grew up underneath him. So my mannerisms on the sideline probably mirror a lot of what he does, because that's who I watched do it for me. And then I coached at Clovis East underneath Meredith Pulliam before our first principal offered me the job at Carruthers 15 years ago.
And a special moment to go back where you went to high school and take over your school.
And I think it's more exciting for me because we're such a small community, and
yeah.
I think a lot of people wouldn't think that we could do what we do there. So it's more exciting to watch those kids be able to feel the excitement that other big schools get to have.
Yeah.
Coach Anna, have you told the team you're going to be coaching now at UConn? Now you got the phone call yet? Or
yeah.
Should we break it today?
Yeah.
You're probably the phone's going off the hook now.
I don't think
you're
Gino
a state champ.
Me.
I mean, come on. You're a state champion. Has it hit the girls yet at all? I mean, there's I don't know how many schools are in California. And you won how many in a row? 24?
21.
21 in a row.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good win streak.
Yeah.
When did you – so you start – and we talk about the private professional high schools and some of these – all of a sudden you look at some of your teams in your schedule and go, wait a minute. You know, we're homegrown. You started little Hoopsters program probably at Carruthers, and you see some teams on your schedule. Let's be honest. All of a sudden three or four new girls just show up, and now you got to play them. What's your feelings at all this we're talking about today?
I mean, there are a lot of schools you could choose from, but sometimes, you know, you just get the unfortunate disadvantage of playing those schools. We always go in with that. We're Rocky Balboa, so it doesn't matter who the opponent is. We're ready for a fight from the start tip-off till the final buzzer. So,
would you characterize that mentality, that Rocky Balboa, which, by the way, I think I went 15 rounds with Rocky over in that massage chair, and
yeah.
That thing is unbelievable. Try that, young ladies. Get the cozy massage. You will come out of there really ready to go. Toughness, what's the defining trait? You're at a Carruthers girls basketball game. You come away with it. You can almost cut it with a knife. It's so thick. What would that be?
Like, defined our toughness?
Yeah,
or?
what's
the, give her a tougher question.
Well, it is a tough one. It's really deep. This is tough. This is a tough one. But the one characteristic, when they graduate from Carruthers High School, they come away with what?
They will never fail.
Never fail.
So, and we talk about that all the time. The final buzzer might sound, and on the scoreboard we might be losers, but in our book we'll never lose. It doesn't – you learn something
Beautiful.
From every interaction, and they will be successful no matter what.
We're
Beautiful.
Talking with Coach from the Carruthers Blue Raiders. Coach, how many future coaches do we have in this team?
Well, we're already recruiting some of them. So, actually, two of them here coached for me last year for AAU. They would come in and do workouts with me and my little girls. And then Jackie knows that she's coming back to be a coach.
She has no choice, does she?
No.
Yeah.
We're going to send her off to college, and then she gets to return. Somebody's got to take over the program one day.
Yeah, I like it. And let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk. Let's start with Jackie, and maybe with Fish Ramirez. We'll talk with those two and talk about some of the state champions. Oh, we're going to keep it going. So if we can't, come on over.
Yeah, come
Jackie,
on up. Let's start
Fish,
handing
let's
the,
keep
the
it
microphone
here.
Around.
Yeah.
Coach, you can stay for a minute
yeah.
and
okay.
introduce. And what I'll do
yeah.
is I'll hand, right?
Okay.
So you can always chime in if they get stuck with something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on over. We're going to make you radio stars today, ladies. So, Jackie on first. Jackie Magagne on the radio. So, I got the interview last Thursday.
as you're on the bus, right?
Yeah.
So after that, tell us about the week getting when you first saw that arena, Sacramento. Little bigger than Carruthers, Jim?
Yeah, a lot bigger.
Barely.
And tell us about the mindset for the team, because when I watched, you guys look like you're ready. This is no big deal to you. We're here to win.
Yeah, I think practicing, because we have the boys practice against us, and I think, like, they're probably, like, the hardest, like, competition we've ever won against. So, like, going into the arena, I just thought, like, we've already played the best, kind of, and, like, we'll do good.
That's a great job, Coach. I like that theory. Bring the boys in, dominate the boys, let them have eating disorders for the rest of their life, and go from there. I love that.
Well, our boys actually, they do a good job of pushing us.
That was humor, ladies. Yeah. Okay, I'm just throwing a little humor. Don't go over there and say, hey, Pagmeter said we just thumped you.
They beat us at practice, and it's important for our girls. We lose at practice almost every time. And if our best boy isn't there, then the other boys are, like, nervous that we might actually beat them.
Yeah.
So, and it's built a good competitive atmosphere in the gym. So every day at practice, every segment, 10 minutes, 20 minutes is a game.
Oh, my. So, Jackie, you've known a lot of these, your teammates since what, third, fourth, fifth grade?
Yeah.
Kindergarten all the way up. It's over with. Does that hit you feeling that you're not going to get to play with them anymore, but you ended up with a state championship?
No, it hasn't hit me yet. I still see them every day.
Yeah, you're going to see them, and then when you have your 10-year reunion someday, you'll bring the rings in. We're state champions, ladies. I mean, that's – think about that, Matt. I mean, that's a great story that you've been playing from day one since you started. When did you start playing basketball?
Like the fourth grade? What's it?
Fourth or fifth, and you probably said, hey, I'm pretty good at this. I like it.
No? I did not say that.
Coaches shook their head like, oh, yeah. So, Coach, you had to push her to play, right?
They're, Felicia and Jackie's older sisters were on the team, so they were just naturally in the gym with us, and they definitely were not very good.
You'd open up more, Coach.
Yeah, they started being really good in, like, the end of fifth, beginning of sixth grade.
My only question is this, okay? Well, I'm going to ask everyone that comes on. One, as now that season's done, now if you continue all the lessons you've learned from coaches and the teachers and all the great people in Carruthers, what's the future hold for you? You have plans, college? You want to continue to go on and play?
I want to play in college, hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of staying close in town here, or are you going to think about moving out of state, or what? Have you thought of that?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I kind of want to stay local, but if the opportunity, like, happens and I get to go play somewhere else farther from home, then I'll take it.
And then the last question is, there's a teacher, and there's plenty, I'm sure, on campus. Shout out to one of your teachers that's helped you along the way, a subject that you like particularly well or you don't like, but their leadership has given you a great, great lesson in life. It's your one chance. Shout out to a Carruthers teacher.
To Mr. Morrow.
Mr. Morrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why would that be?
Because he's just really inspiring. I just love his teaching, and I don't know.
No, that's good. That's great stuff, amazing. Jackie, because, you know, the older you get, you'll begin to appreciate not just your coaches, not just your athletic director and principal, but those teachers are like Mr. Morrow on the way, and I'm hopefully he's listening, but that definitely means a lot. I'm sure you're getting an A in that class. Yeah. Let's move on, Nick. Yeah, let's get the next athlete in.
Next up is Felicia Ramirez. She actually leads our program in scoring, is second leading scorer at Carruthers High School.
Fish, welcome in.
Yeah. Hi.
You were dominating the boards the other day on a bigger physical team, but you were stronger than them.
Yeah.
How much fun was that?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
You're saying, this is my kitchen. Get out of my kitchen right now. This is my boards. That's what it looked like, and no one wanted to mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
How much fun was it?
It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, especially in the state, the Valley Championship in Division 5, when you're up 21-0, that would be pretty fun against Kalinga.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about Coach. You're not listening. What kind of coach we got? Coach Anna. She tough?
She's a really tough coach. She's a great coach, though. She teaches like a lot about life. And
come on, you're already starting. Don't worry. I want to hear the come on. No, I had to throw a basketball at her once.
Okay.
Come on, give me one of those
stories.
It's a little
crazy. It's really hard on us, but that makes us like better players and better people, I feel like. Practice is tough every day. Practice is crazy. She's the same. If it's a good practice, she's still crazy. But that's always, that's we're all used to it. And I really like that about her.
What do you think? Is that what you thought you were
going to
get?
She said nicer things than I thought she was going to.
Well, she's still got to deserve that ring. You might take it away from her. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the Carruthers Blue Raiders. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. El Paso Blackstone, Jackie, great job over there. We'll come back. It's a Pack Meter, Maddie J. Don't go anywhere on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson. Carruthers Blue Raiders are in the house. Making some noise. I want to thank Firehouse Subs, Matt. Yeah, give that one. Yeah, Bobby's playing games with us over here. Bobby, no, but we're here. I want to thank Firehouse Subs having the sandwiches today. We have the Carruthers State Champs, Matt. Anna Almeida in the house along with... Did I mess up again?
Almeida.
Do I know my best friend and radio sidekick? Do I know?
The state championship coach who might be going to Stanford or something.
Yeah. And she's the state champion coach. And say her, what's coach's name once again?
Anna. Coach Anna.
Anna?
Have Fish okay. Ramirez in the house.
Yes.
Powerful forward center. Had a great game at Sacramento. Welcome in.
Thank you.
And Felicia. Is your real name, but Fish, since you're a little tater tot.
Yeah.
I like it. So you love the name Fish now.
Yeah, my principal, teachers, everyone calls me it.
How about when you go back to the elementary schools, do they look like you, like you're like the Lakers now? So, there's Fish Ramirez. I mean, that's got to be a great feeling because you were at that age at one time.
Yeah, they do, especially because my name's Fish, so they know that.
Now, you mentioned... Pagmeter said power forward. I mean, in character position wise, the one, the two, the three, the four. Where do you play?
Oh,
two.
Yeah.
So you're a shooter slasher.
Yeah.
You get to you can take
attack.
It to the rim and attack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now let me ask you, what on defense? Are we a man team, coach? Or we play a lot of man.
Yeah.
So typically, do you match up against their best scorer, or what is it? All
no,
depends.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to stay out of foul trouble.
And what's your last question for me? Is what's your favorite? Element, offense, defense. What do you really, really enjoy doing?
Offense.
Yeah.
But I was impressed with the Blue Raiders defense.
Yeah.
The pressure you gave the Rams in that game, they had no idea what was coming. It looked like there was 8 Blue Raiders playing at the same time. Right, Fish?
Yeah.
Isn't that fun though? When you get the steals and you're getting those 2-on-1 breaks.
Yeah.
But you've been playing with these girls for a while.
Yeah. We have really good chemistry together.
And now it's over.
Yeah.
Has it hit you yet?
No, it hasn't. Still see them.
Well, you're going to see them forever, but just the thought that you've been playing since your fourth and fifth grade.
Yeah.
What are you going to tell the young Blue Raiders coming up now? Are they going to be as good as your? Is this the best team ever? But you're going to say you're going to be good, but you're not going to be as good as us.
No, I'm going to push them. I'm going to want them to be the best.
That's not the way it is, Coach. I mean, the template has been set not just for this year. It's been building.
Yeah.
And then you do what you've done. You win a state championship. I believe it was Maddie Campbell at Clovis West, another real high-level basketball program. You know, they've gone to the highest heights. But tradition never graduates. Isn't that your feeling for your group?
Yeah.
The next group wave will come along, and you'll be there to help as an alumni now where you can. What's your plans after you leave Carruthers High School?
I want to continue playing ball.
Good.
But I want to stay local. But, if the opportunity gets me, then I'll go out. But I want to stay local and help out with
And can you envision yourself one day, maybe when Coach retires, that maybe one day you'll become a coach somewhere, a head coach somewhere?
Hopefully, yeah.
She'll definitely be a nicer one.
Yeah. I'll have to learn some more from her.
You never know. She'll go off to college and she'll change.
Yeah.
And she'll come back like, okay. Well, fabulous. Let's bring up the next student athlete from the Carruthers Blue Raiders, the state champion basketball team. Okay, welcome to 940 ESPN. Your voice is being beamed out to over 50,000 watts of power, so from north of Sacramento to San Jose on the Bay, all the way back down south to Chula Vista, California. They're all listening to you right now. So, please introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Destiny Giles, and I'm actually Coach Almeida's niece.
Oh, wow, family. This is great.
Yeah, I know. I'm stuck with her, so. But, yeah, I'm a senior.
And when we ask you, who else would like to?
See, I didn't know.
The team is laughing. When we ask to bring up another outstanding student athlete from Carruthers, they mention your name. Are you pretty much? Do you hold court on the bus? Are you the one that is in charge of keeping everyone laughing and keeping everything as light?
Yeah, I am pretty funny, huh, guys?
How long have you been in the program?
Since Jackie and Fish, fifth grade.
Wow! Did you guys go to the same elementary school?
Yeah.
How many elementary schools? What's the feeders look like into your school?
We have four feeder schools.
Four feeders?
Three of the feeder schools have 125 K-8, and then Carruthers Elementary is the biggest, and they're K-8, and they have about 800.
Wow. One recollection from this entire experience that you could share with the audience, one moment that you think is, amongst all the other great moments, can you come up with one thought to this season?
I have two torn ACLs, and I'm so thankful for these teammates and coaches for, I don't know how you say it.
Supporting me.
Yes. You didn't tear both ACLs at the same time?
No, it was like a year after.
A year and a year, and then happened again? And this great group of teammates, they stuck and supported you and helped bring you back.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff. That's being great teammates, but more importantly, these are friends that you'll have for the rest of your life. What a great memory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Coach Almeida, on behalf of the coaching fraternity, we're obviously very proud of you. Congratulations on bringing more joy. It's been an outstanding year for all schools all over for being another great school that brought great, great joy to our valley, and you made us all proud. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
It was fantastic. You guys, I'm very proud of the Carruthers Blue Raiders state champions. We'll take a break. We're live here at Fashion Furniture. This is a Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Yeah, you're on. Welcome back. This is your Rise Show for your Thursday afternoon. Glad you can be with us. It's a PAG meter. It's along with Matt Johnson. I want to thank the Carruthers Blue Raiders. That is a class act.
Class act. Great town. Cliche as it might sound, but it couldn't happen to a better group. I mean, really. All my experiences in life, business, and everything of the folks I've bumped into from the city of Carruthers, whether they were Carruthers High School alumni or from that town, something special going on in that community. And it's great to see a year, where you've got Foothill down in Bakersfield beating Shasta, Mount Shasta, for their championship. You know, we just met with Carruthers Blue Raiders. The girls won in their state championship. Madera South Boys Soccer won a state championship. What's going on? Garces Rams Soccer. Our sports programs in the Central Section are stepping up heavily. I mean, we are being recognized no longer as the little stepchild. We are absolutely hanging banners and winning championships all over in the world of sports in our state.
I want to thank Firehouse Subs because they love the sandwiches today. Carruthers, Blue Raiders said the first-class sandwiches. You can get right over here in Blackstone and East, Herndon and Fowler, if you want to check them out. Yes. One word, brisket.
Yes, one word, Philly cheese. That's more than one word.
But
I'm getting
in your vocabulary.
When I'm hanging out with you is what happens to me.
Let's talk. We got a great show coming up. If you want to call us, if you have any thoughts, 844-940-ESPN. We're talking a little bit of everything. We're talking about the Varsity Blues. We're talking about the scandal that's just hitting the books, really. It's only going to get worse, about the Hollywood stars paying to get their kids into school. It's been going on for a million years.
And at least we can't politicize this deal. Whether you're from the right or the left, no one can talk about it because these are Hollywood type and moguls of multimillionaires and these kind. And typically the Hollywood types are from the left side. So this is not one of those where they can point fingers at our president caused this or this. There's nothing to that. It's just some
money
that has been going on forever. Like I said, it's the FBI waking up one day in their staff meeting thinking, let's find some low-hanging fruit. It's time for us to make a splash. And they did, obviously. It was the easiest set of circumstances anyone that in law enforcement that ever wanted to attack. Corruption in colleges. It's too easy.
And why does it happen, Matt? And I'll tell you, I think why. It's not because they're going to go get a scholarship. I mean, graduate from USC or Stanford and go take. No, it's like the prestigious thing. Oh, I'm an actress. My daughter goes to USC. It looks good at the Christmas parties and stuff. It just looks good on the mantle that your kid's going to USC or Stanford.
At your little wine and cheese party, and as all parents do, whether you're rich or poor, you're bragging about, well, you know, Stephanie just got accepted to Harvard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yes, you know, grandfather graduated there. You know, I was class of 1980. Everyone is, it's a family deal, and that's part of the system that parents, I'm sure, get wrapped up in, is where they had a great experience at College A. Their son or daughter might not be quality enough material in the classroom and other extracurricular things they do to be accepted. But there's one thing I know colleges accept, money. So it's, to me, there are two sides of the fence. One group, shocking, oh my gosh, this is the potential end of the current educational system. What are we going to do now? And then there's people that are a little less of that, who feel like, huh, so what? This has been going on forever. I don't understand the story. I really don't.
Well, I think it stems from bribing coaches now, taking tests illegal, getting an SAT test by yourself because you got a learning disability. Little things like that irritate me.
But
getting away with rules that shouldn't happen.
But once again, you have a test system, whether you want to believe one, like I said, one side or the other. I happen to believe that the current testing system is biased. I believe that it does not tell you the true story of what type of potential student you have. But yet they have this system, the SAT and the ACT. It's an institution that someone started. Hopefully, maybe this will shed a little more light to the idea that it's just another measuring tool that people use to hold some people in and hold people out. It doesn't make sense to me exactly what went on with the story. For me, is you mean that there is a lacrosse program or a rowing group that has the kind of clout on campus that can actually go to the admissions and say, look, I've got a star coxman here. He rowed for 6 years and in Mission Viejo, I didn't think they had scholarships available for that kind of stuff. So what kind of preferential treatment does admissions really show to the athletes? Oh, that's right. Of course they show preferential treatment. Once again, most of this is a non-story. That's what happens. The haves will go find a way. The have-nots have to go make sure that their basketball skills are at such note that they can't be denied. That's pretty much, if you correlate it to sports, there it is.
844-940-ESPN. Well, we just had Carruthers on, the Blue Raiders, who do it the right way. Fourth, fifth grade, they've been playing together since day one.
Exactly.
This is my problem now. They're the overachievers. They work hard. They do it the right way. But they're going to be penalized soon. You know that. They're going to have to go start playing with with the more of the professional schools that they just bring in kids. What's your theory on something like this? Who they do it the right way, and you got some schools who all of a sudden, where'd those girls come from?
Yeah.
I don't like all of a sudden, it's just because they're a smaller school, because they do the right way. Should they be penalized? Because you know they're going up soon.
I think that the powers of the CIF guaranteed have already looked at this, have already started to examine placing those type schools you're talking about, the Ribbit Academy. And by the way, the Ribbit Academy, Ribbit.
The Fighting Frogs.
Fighting Frogs. Not only is their name a frog.
I love the name.
The mascot's a frog. That's unique in itself. But anyway, you have those types of academy private schools. Their mission is clear. Get as many sensational, talented athletes on your roster as you possibly can. And let's make headlines by winning.
And make no mistake, Matt, I'm not against what they're doing.
I
would be doing the same thing.
What I'm saying is I do believe now, and I never thought in a million years that I'd be speaking this way, it's time for us to take a hard look at scientifically manufacturing our calendars and our schedules to eliminate those type of schools from the schedule of schools who do it the old-fashioned way, which is neighborhood schooling. They all go to the school, and they compete against schools of some different varieties of talent. You can't always be all the same talent. But when you have all-star teams that get collected together for one season and you're asked to play against them, I don't think it's right. And I do believe that there are many people now that are beginning to look hard at not scheduling those type schools, period. Knock them off the schedule. Let them schedule only the schools that operate under the all-star status of collecting all these talented athletes for teams. I think that's where we're headed. I think the Trinity Conference in Southern California with Orange Lutheran, Mater Dei, Servite, and those type schools have already figured that out. I think the schools in Orange County and Los Angeles area have figured out that they won't play them. And I think the state of CIF, State Commission, has figured out that we will try to get most of those type schools in the open division and leave them alone. But when you see Ribbit Academy sneak in there and go up against, it just happened to be our local private school, Emmanuel, who had to face Ribbit Academy. But when you see that happening, I think it's about time that we begin removing those schools from typical classic public schools. They should not be playing in the same conference with schools like that.
Well, how about our local now? We've got, you know, we do know Garces is
going to
turn up the volume. Bakersfield Christian with Darren Carr has already turned the volume. San Joaquin Memorial, football-wise, they're going to be very good.
Yeah.
Basketball could be unraveling. I think I'm hearing rumors, and I could be wrong, Memorial, but I'm hearing kids are leaving. So they could be back to San Joaquin Memorial basketball.
To me, you cannot distinguish anymore, as you would always characterize, what does the team look like? It's not fair. You've moved them now to whatever division, but yet they don't have the same players, and they lost some players that went off to these academy basketball programs, whatever it might be. I think now you have to officially recognize that there is now enough out there where there can be a private school conference, like the Trinity League in our own backyard here in the Central Section. Garces is not going to sit idly by and watch San Joaquin Memorial kick sand in their face. You think the Paul Gola hire, with his wife joining, and everything going on at Garces is just coincidence? No. That program, fair enough, should be looking to the future thinking, wait a minute now, why are we not relevant to where San Joaquin Memorial's at right now? We need to up the ante a little bit. I think that's what they're doing. And then Memorial's going to counter, and then you're going to find Bakersfield Christian, who's already on their superpower move. You've got Central Valley Christian that presents itself very professionally superpower-like. Now you have Emmanuel, and there are others in our valley. I think it's about time to start looking hard at an all-private school conference.
So right now, what you're saying, let me see if I'm wrong. If you're on their schedule as a non-league, because right now at league you got no choice, but would you say we can't play those guys? We just can't compete against those guys.
I don't want to say. I like what Coach Almeida said from Carruthers, that we take the Rocky mentality or the Pat Hill. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. But there is a level of, not only do you get just major league sand kicked in your face, But then the players clown about it. I don't know if that's where the education and that's where the new age of sports is headed to. I just don't believe it's fair to the players. I do not believe it's fair to the players. I really am starting to see a trend here where you don't see, as an example, Costa Mesa High School does not play modern-day high school in any sport. They have their collection of schools they go against. They leave that to the professionals. Servite and those schools of the world can go toe-to-toe. San Juan Capistrano, Santa Margarita, they go toe-to-toe with that level. I think this isn't new to anyone, but there are still those type setups where a Rivet Academy could line up against a smaller school with a collection of athletes who come from all over the place, and they make that one-year run. That has to be looked at. I'm sure it is. There's too many coaches and administrators right now that are really beginning to be a little upset.
Well, the problem is some kids come in so late. You think you got it handled, and all of a sudden they get three new kids to show up, and first day of practice, you're like, whoa, where did these guys come from? And that's what's happening out there.
Yeah.
You're going to see some kids more on here move around.
It already happened. I think the CIF, underneath everything else, saw the handwriting on the wall many years ago. We now have implemented the idea that you get, it's no longer a three, to be 365, meaning you change schools and you're out for an entire year, that is not completely gone away if you can prove tampering or something was going on in the recruitment of an athlete. But in general, they made the 30-day or the new policy of how long you have to sit out. I think because they believe that to at least keep the playing field somewhat level, the public school has to have a way to continue to get new bodies into their programs and not have them sit for an entire season. I think that's given a little bit of life to the idea that everyone, there's so many schools that recruit now. I think that kind of gives it towards a little more level playing. But there are certain communities, I would use Madera as one of them. We lose all of our athletes. Not all of our, I shouldn't say it. We lose so many athletes. It's not like kids are moving and coming out our way. The San Joaquin Memorial baseball team is littered with Madera Unified, Madera High School Coyote baseball all-stars. That can't make the Madera Coyotes feel very good about the fact now they still have to be in the same conference and they have to play them. That has to be something that upsets groups, and you know they're looking at it. How are they going to remedy that? Period. The idea that everyone, as you said, is still, well, they all can participate equally. No, they can't. No, they can't. When you've got a certain boundary and when you have a certain way or a means to get student A to a location that's way down the road, that's an advantage. When you have a busing or a van pickup system that helps the kids leave from wherever they're at based on the fact we have no boundaries per se, that's a huge help.
You know what's amazing? So in the past, you had to lie about transferring. Well, I'm going to school B because the school A doesn't have a great science department, and I really want to get into the geometry program, and I really want to do you play football? Well, yeah, I do. I do play football. I also play basketball, but I'm only going there because of the science program. Now they don't care. You can go to school A to school B. Now the next step, the Fighting Frogs have brought out, yeah, we're recruiting. Because we do know that a lot of people recruit, but it's no one talks about it. It's hush-hush.
Yeah.
We do know school A is talking to that player to go to school B. It is what it is. But now, has he opened up the can of worms?
He has. He's opened it up. It's already been opened, but, I mean, he exposed it in such a one, two-sentence statement that we recruited around the country, and here we have our team. And we just blew out a like division-minded opponent by lots, and they hold up the trophy like it's the greatest victory in the history of our school. When in reality, all they really did, which anyone would be privy to if people would turn a blind eye to it, they went out and recruited. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that head coach recruited. Head coach got with his other sidekick partner who maybe runs a certain AAU program. Hey, steer the players my way. We got a new academy thing we got going on, and it's pretty good. We take care of the kids. They'll all get brand new Adidas costumes to wear, whatever it might be. You come bring them our way, and I'll bring them on the road in the summer for these trips and these tournaments. And It's out there. He's just, thankfully, and isn't, by the way, Nick, isn't this the way all change in our country takes place? One loose cannon, one misslip of your text, one mistake with your voice, and everything gets exposed, and then all of a sudden all guys like you and I start making changes. When all along, all we needed was a moment like this to completely strike upon it.
It's been going on forever.
And this moment did hit, like I said, at St. John Bosco in their football championship year with Josh Rosen, where the administrators at halftime, how did you build? Well, we were tired of playing second place to modern days of the world. We decided to pick up our pace. What is he saying? We decided, okay, how much money do we have for tuition? Let's go get more scholarship athletes in here.
So let me make one clarification, and I don't know about how Memorial, Garces, Bakersfield Christian does things. CVC does not give out scholarships. So I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm getting a lot of emails. They do not.
Do they give out financial aid? I'm guessing they probably do. I'm guessing they probably do. And every school...
If you're listening, let me know, CVC.
Every school has its own version of what we've been talking about. And every school is not equipped to really go play battle with the superpowers that be in private schools. But all I'm saying, at some point, we can talk about this for 10 years from now, but at some point, the system will change. I'm getting way too many, not just myself or my colleagues, read the journal, read the editorials, read the papers. Coaches, administrators, all the way up to the highest levels of some superintendents of school districts, are not happy with watching their kids, their students leave school A to go to school B and then to come back and compete and kick sand in our face with our own talented athletes who left our area.
So what's the answer?
Don't play them.
Okay.
Don't schedule them. Don't play them.
But Madera has to play Memorial. They're on the same league.
No one has to do anything.
So you just don't show up?
If during the NC2A basketball run through March Madness, if the Duke program decided on game night, right up to tip-off, because they're not happy with something that's going on, they want change, if they decided to boycott and not play, change would already be underway.
You said that before. Just sit in the midfield of football. If you want to change, if you want to have like the players to be paid, just sit in halftime.
What's the hottest topic right now in high school athletics, in my opinion? Transgender athletes.
We've been talking about that for 3 years.
It's a hot topic, and there are coming. It's getting hit from all angles.
Yeah.
It's coming, but you know what's getting it to get realized, and people are, whoa, let's talk about this one. Is press stories? Kid wins a state championship for wrestling. Track and field athletes win the gold medal in their respective events. People start, whoa, parents, that's not fair. That's what's where we're at right now on the spectrum with this whole idea of a Ribbit Academy stockpiling a team and going out and beating another school.
Well, you've said it many times. How do you permit, tell a parent that I can't better my kid? I want him to go to Ribbit Academy or wherever he wants to go,
right?
Because I got a better opportunity to play at the next level. He has a better chance of playing there than school B.
There's no question that I am all for the parents' right to send their son or daughter to go participate, whether it's in band or whatever it might be. Were you talking athletics? No question. That's just the American way. I question, though, should the other schools suffer on the fields of play in the gymnasiums around America because one school's dedicated to stockpiling a superpower? I think it's absolutely fair for a school to say, we're not going to play, we're not going to schedule.
Well, here's how one way you can handle that issue. Yes, we've talked about it 1,000 times. For example, I'm just throwing out Memorial because we love Memorial. Coach Roz does a great job. Doesn't know who's coming in this year. Could be a whole new team. We put people in divisions at the end of the year. So let's say Memorial does get 3 or 4 more Jalen Greens coming in. They're Division One. Maybe they don't get any Jalen Greens, and maybe Braxton Mia leaves, and
right,
they all leave, and all of a sudden there's this little San Joaquin Memorial like they used to be. You're right. They're going back to Division Three. You do it at the end of the year, takes care of the sandbaggers. Why don't we see it at the end of the year? I don't get well, it. That, at the beginning of the year.
That's for a competitive nature. That's
well,
one way
I'm
to look at it.
I'm just talking about for the playoffs.
I'm thinking about why can't we go, why can't we develop a private school and a public school divisions? I don't understand.
I don't think we have enough private around here. We only have the four. Fresno Christian's not big enough. Emmanuel's really not big enough to play with those kind of schools yet. It's just not going to happen. So you put them in four? Is that right? I got four. I got three. I got Garces, Bakersfield Christian, Memorial, and you got Emmanuel.
Valley, Emmanuel. I mean, I think
they're not ready yet.
Well,
or CVC, they could do it. That's four.
Wait, but can, time out. That doesn't mean that they can't be subject to reclassification when it comes to playoff time for them of what they have to do. I'm just talking about as a start, as a starting point. There has to be at least, because what you're saying is there are certain that aren't ready. What about the schools that already play against them that aren't ready? The public schools that get whacked by the big private school. They're not ready for that either. You're always going to have better private schools and private schools that aren't as good, just as you have great public schools in the athletics and some public schools that aren't so good. It's all going to equal out.
Hey, before we take a break, I want to give a love out to Tulare Union and Tulare Western. Tulare Union lost a special person, Kevin Callowin, in the fall. He passed away, so they're going to have a special baseball game for Kevin and his family. He's going to be there. It's going to be Tulare Union versus Tulare Western, Thursday, 6:30. It's going to be a special night dedicating for Kevin and his family. So great job to Tulare Union and Tulare Western to do this. I think it's fantastic. So Coach Ryan Miller and Tulare Union, and they're doing a great job. It'll be at Visalia at Recreational Park. 6:30 is first pitch, so this Thursday. Let's take a break. Come back.
Well,
I want to. We got a couple coaching hires that we're going to talk about when
we
come
do.
Back. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. This is your Rice Show for your Thursday. I do want to thank Carruthers. Is Matt going to come back in? It's the Pag Meter, Matt Johnson. By the way, the 8th Annual Blue Raiders Golf Tournament fundraiser is Saturday, April 6th, Ridge Creek in Dinuba. Matt, we might have to form a team. I don't know if it's two-man, four-man, whatever the case may be, but we might have to go over there. It's the 8th Annual Golf Tournament. Can you still play golf, Matt? You going to put your earphones on? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I can still play golf, but I don't know if a four handicap's good enough for your tournament. I don't know if that's good. Is that good? I don't know.
I'd love for if you were a four handicap, I'm taking you around.
I honestly should probably start weekends, whatever, around the track and field coaching season, whatever it is, get to swinging the club a little bit. But I think I'm getting to that point where I think the CTE concussion syndrome is beginning to hit, where I can't see and feel the club and the ball like I used to. Just can't do it. You can say what you want. I'm just not that
is
guy.
Is that why I crushed you in ping pong and pool and all that?
Well,
you can't see?
We've never played ping pong, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing you could beat me in ping pong. Because you just still have that knack. Between hand-eye coordination, you haven't slipped.
Well, if you want to play in this tournament, Carruthers, Blue Raiders,
yes.
Alumni, call 559-495-6416. Or Tyson, and I always love to talk to Tyson. He's been there 18 years. What a great AD. He took care of me when I call, hey, Mr. Tyson, I want to come out and do a game. And they were so happy. Compared, sometimes when we do the Division I games, they're like, what are you guys doing here?
Well,
they were so happy.
Yeah, and athletic director Tyson, he's Slash.
Yeah.
He's Slash.
He's a movie star.
He's actor, athletic director.
How about it, Coach
model.
Anna, though? Coach Anna, former Carruthers Blue Raiders coach.
Yep.
Going back to the alma mater.
Yep.
If you want to play in the golf tournament, you can also call Tyson at 647-8082. 647-8082. Now, speaking of that, so we've got a couple alma maters. Tony Gates is graduated from Reedley in 1991, will be the new Reedley Pirates coach. Left Orange Cove, does a great job.
Yes.
I've endorsed him from the get-go, and Reedley made the move. So
yep.
Congratulations, Tony.
Nephew of Bill Gates,
And that's how you got the job? Is that what you're
the
saying?
The mega mogul billionaire.
No, Tony will do a great job.
Tony is going to be coaching what?
The Reedley Pirates.
Are we talking football?
Football. He's the head
coach. So
we
made
coach.
That move. That,
yeah.
That's
official.
And he's coming from where?
He's coming from Orange Cove.
He was the Orange Cove head
yeah.
coach. Well, I know this
job.
Already. I'm just prepping
yeah,
you for all
I know.
This stuff.
And then the
I
other,
met with him in the airport at the Nike Coach
that's
of the
right.
Year Clinic.
Loves
and we
you.
Talked. I love this guy.
Yeah, he's really got some energy. And I always say, looks like Coach
I met
Anna.
Him before that, but, I mean, we talked about it. That's congratulations.
Yeah, looks like Coach Anna coming back to Carruthers. Tony's going back. And I know Orange Cove is not happy. They're losing their guy. But I think when you get an old guy, or a guy coming back to his old school, I don't know, I just like that.
Yeah, he's vested. I mean, he's in it deep. I mean, he bleeds it. How about Clovis West? They get their coach?
Yeah, they got their new coach, Tim Randall, the defensive line coach, who was the head coach for the Bullard Knights in the late 1990s, went to Clovis East. Now, my question is, okay, if this is the guy, all right, then why didn't we announce him when George left? And so I'm thinking, why is it so hard to get a coach at Clovis West anymore? That is the USC Trojans of our valley. They were the elite team, and now a lot of guys turned that job down. I'm just wondering what's going on. You know more
well,
than I do.
I don't know more than you, but I know certain things more than you. And the one thing I do know is that to get a proper hire, you know, we're in the microwave society. We're all into this quick fix. And what the heck? Guy leaves. The guy should be hired in a minute. Well, if you're doing your due diligence, and if you are still looked upon as that one of the preeminent football programs in our valley, it hasn't been that long. Was it 2009 or 10 the last time they won a title?
2010.
Yeah, well, 2010, it's not that long ago. So there's still clearly big-time relevancy to the Clovis West Golden Eagle football program. They had to have run their course. They probably most likely were exploring all types of different coaches. And to do that, think about this, Nick, to do that, it requires a lot of energy and different job offer type stuff. Like, we're willing to do this. We'll all get back to you. I need to speak with my wife. That takes at least a week or two to get that thing figured out. Next thing you know, you come back. Then you might come in and say, yeah, I would be interested in interviewing. And then you get cold feet and you leave. Then the school's got to go back and rethink. I'm imagining that they had several candidates in mind for Clovis West, and some of those potential candidates became non-candidates. And then they just keep going down the list. If you're telling me, with all due respect to Coach Randall, who I think is a outstanding hire.
Oh, he's a great guy.
They're
going to love him, by the way.
Was probably not their first choice.
No.
Probably not their first choice.
Because if he was, they would have hired him when George left. Okay, George left. Oh, we got Tim Randall. Let's get him.
Yeah.
They waited until March.
Right.
This is why I'm trying to think.
I'm saying, though, they didn't wait until March. Since the moment that George Petrosant stepped down, they've been probably going to work hard on potential replacements.
They're looking from out-of-state people again and again. I don't understand why a lot of these schools around here want to look for out-of-town or out-of-state coaches. Do they think it's just better?
I have no idea. But I know because I've done enough clinics, I've traveled, I've been fortunate enough to be in many, many circles of a variety pack of coaches. There's no better coaches in all sports, including swimming, diving, golf, wrestling,
baseball,
softball, yeah. girls volleyball, yeah. boys volleyball, track and field. There are no better coaches in all of the land than reside and work in this central section.
So
that
true.
Is not a unsolicited or solicited promo for all the people that work in our industry. That is a fact coming from someone, myself, that has traveled and lived in every seemingly county in the western region. Growing up as a kid and now being a football player to a football coach and everything else goes along with it. You don't need to go on this national search. It usually ends very poorly, if you've noticed, in this community.
Yeah, no question. And I think Clovis West in the days, the mentality was, let's go to Mars. Let's get our coach. We're going to go get Nick Saban's cousin. Let's bring him in.
The problem is
I never understood
Clovis
that.
West football was built when it was Clovis against Clovis West. Take all of that mass of real estate and separate it by two high schools, and Clovis West being the newer high school to the Clovis High School Cougars, Clovis West started to build it, and you could see it in every sport. Athletic supremacy was written all over that place. In comes a little school by the name of Buchanan. Buchanan is built, and then you begin to see this, the powers begin to separate throughout the community.
Not only did they build Buchanan, the facilities were off the charts.
Off the charts. With the feeder junior high that is attached to the high school. It's one big megalopolis of athletics and student activity. And then a little school comes along by the name of Clovis East. And Tim Murphy and other coaches in these sports got the new school. And then the rest of the new people decided, let's go there. And then they started building their program. And then Clovis North comes. At what point did Clovis West get left behind? Now, in the spirit of the world of basketball, not even close. Clovis West boys and girls dominate.
It's a full-on basketball school.
It's a full-on basketball school. Yeah. But in the powerful
swimming,
sport of football
and golf,
it is very, very difficult to continue to dominate when that many different talented student-athletes are spread out all over the place.
It seems like when a new school comes in, you have that five-year window to dominate as quickly as you can because you don't know after that 5 years. Clovis North did it, remember?
Yeah.
Christian Rossi and that group, they were loaded for a while. And then they fizzled for a little while, and they're trying to get it back.
The football program that I think that suffered the most throughout this explosion of population and real estate movement is the Clovis Cougars, and football, I should say. I don't think it affected certain sports.
Well, I think Clovis East and Clovis
were
battling the elementary school. That's our school, and they were getting the better of the kids.
What did I just say? What school got affected the most with the growth?
Clovis East.
Clovis High did. Clovis East didn't get affected by anything.
Well,
they had their run, and they did it on the backside of some great coaching and the idea of some district boundary changes where they started to get the feeder program. Gettysburg started going over
That's
to
right.
Clovis High.
That's correct.
And that affected the Clovis Cougars. And then they rearranged that relationship, and now Clovis. But I'm just talking about when was the last championship Clovis Cougar football won?
They've been close for about, out of 10 years, probably six times they could have won it. They were that close.
Did they win it?
No, they did not. Now the next thing.
They used to win it routinely.
Keep an eye on Clovis East in the future. There's a lot of houses.
Well, the housing market now came all the way back, and those housing rooftops got developed. I was out there for the Clovis East Carnival. Great track meet, by the way. Thank you, Coach Farmer. Clovis East puts on an outstanding show. And there's homes everywhere over there now. But guess what's coming? Sanger's getting ready to dip into the talent pool. They're going to lose Sanger. Originally, because anytime you open two high schools, I can tell you a little bit about that, Madera. But once you open that other high school, Sanger's got a brand new one coming on board here, and very shortly it's under construction, and that's going to sit right in the backyard of Clovis East. And then Clovis South will be under construction, which is going to be the newest of the Clovis high schools.
And Central eventually is going to get a new high school. I heard they're going to start breaking ground soon.
Yeah.
So that'll happen, and that's going to make the track happy because Central's been dominating in almost every sport for a little while. And their track is like, hey, we want to get back at dominating again. We're not doing it right now thanks to 4,700 Central kids. And they're going to have to split it up somehow, and I don't know how they're going to do that. Sanger, you're right. You take two schools away, and they're going to go back to Division III probably.
That's what I always say. You know, people, you know, out they talk about Madera and Madera football is great. Madera South football, sorry. I just would ask anyone of any community of like-minded size, open up two high schools in Sanger and see what would happen. Right? You're going to find out. But that's
look at Clovis West in football. If there was no Clovis North and it was just Clovis West, they'd be dominating still. You put those two schools together, this is what happens.
Well, they sandwiched North and Buchanan in there, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you think about it. Clovis Unified has, it's not a huge, huge geographic region, I would imagine, but Buchanan, Clovis West, Clovis North, Clovis East, Clovis, and now another new high school, Clovis South, or whatever.
When is this supposed to be open? Are they?
Next week.
No, I mean.
Very soon.
Like 4 or 5 years?
Oh, less than that.
Really?
I think it's like a 2-year plan from here on out.
And Madera's getting a new school. That'll be open.
Yeah, Torres High School will be opening here in another year and a month to 6 months to 2 years.
And how many students are they planning on to be in that school to start?
Well, to start, I don't know the exact number, but you'll have a freshman group coming in, freshman, sophomore type group starting it out. But they'll escalate right up to 2,000 easy. Madera South will lose numbers, and then Madera will be different too. It's just going to be a really strange. I think it's inevitable because as we open this whole show up with the idea of colleges, shocking, paying to get in admissions, favorable admissions into schools, fudging on SAT or ACTs with a consulting agency that helps you get a better score. I think it all plays hand in hand to school is business, and high schools are no different. Education is a business, and the more schools you have, not only can you educate properly to your students because your classroom sizes are smaller, but that builds more into your business base.
No question, and people want to be part of a winner. Look at Central, the football team. How many Edison Tigers transferred to Central because they're the new hot cup of tea? And what'd they get, 10?
Plenty. And not just
so this is what happens, but if Central wasn't winning, they're not going to Central. This is how kids are. This is how families are. And this is why you see parents bribing coaches that any way to get my kid into college, what's it going to take? I don't know. I'm going to have to go talk to my administrators out there to get your kid in. Well, what? Give me a number. I don't know, 100,000? Let me see what I can do to get my kid. This is only the beginning, Matt.
Yeah.
You're going to see the next week when we do this show, you're going to watch even bigger stories coming out.
Yeah, and I hesitate to continue to drag up the original story we started with, but here again, it's just talk with Walter Jackson and other friends of mine that this kind of stuff, this pay for preferential treatment to get your kid into school, this is not something anyone should be shocked about, or this is crazy. Are you aware this was going on? This has been going on since the beginning of time. Major universities that are prestigious in nature, certain parents with lots of money want their children to go to those schools. And all those schools we're talking about, the Stanfords, the big giants of the industry, what do they want? What keeps them afloat? Money, cash flow. Of course you're going to give someone special treatment if you can pay to help build that new wing onto the latest dormitory, or add a wing onto the library, or give us a better science department than we have right now. That's what pays the bills. That's what allows a university to continue to thrive in their business model.
And I would just guess there's a lot of rich people in L.A., UCLA, USC.
There are, for everyone that's,
if John Wayne back in the day had a kid, hey, we
went
got
to
John
what do you
Wayne's
mean? I met him. They all went to USC.
Well, I'm saying is we got John Wayne's kid here, so they like to be a little prestigious.
Oh, yeah. Of course
that
do.
Around. Basketball news, Pat Giles is not going to be back at Buchanan for basketball, so they're going to need a basketball coach. So we'll keep you updated. Again, follow the PAG meter on Twitter. We'll keep you updated with all the latest stuff. I do want to thank the Carruthers Blue Raiders basketball team today, Matt. First-class organization.
Yes, definitely. And we have 30 seconds, Nick. I'll have to follow this one up on the next week's show. But Roosevelt football's got a big golf tournament coming up, too.
Follow the PAG meter on Twitter, and I'll keep it all out there for you. Thank Bobby Boy, Russ back in the studio, Tony D coming up next. Best of luck to the Fresno State basketball team and the Mountain West tournament. Go Dogs. Well, have a great afternoon, everybody, on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.